This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Judd Surratt, the call on Nesin Murat Khuznadinov. You know him, you love him, you can spell his last name with the game-winning goal on Thursday. Bruins back to now within a game of 500, which is something that I'd say a week ago. Speaking of when we talked a week ago, I don't think that we had 6-7, 4 points within first place in the Atlantic Division. And Tom, I see what you're doing back behind the glass. I'm not saying it out loud. You're welcome to, but I'm certainly
six, seven.
Oh my God. You know, we as society had a real nice run. I'll tell you that much.
See, everybody hates on it, but let's not act like 10 years ago we didn't have 21. So
yeah.
Every 10 years, just something stupid comes along.
Yeah, I know, but now I'm 10 years older than I was 10 years ago, and now I can think that all of it's stupid. I can be the old crotchety 27-year-old that's complaining about all this
crap. I'm just on the edge of that cliff where in the next 10 years, if I'm still doing it, there's a serious problem.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's fair. But welcome back here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. That's the voice of Tom Christofioli, who's riding back behind the glass. Here, taking you up until 1 o'clock. KJ Carson has you 1-3 this afternoon, leading into coverage of Boston College football. They take on number 12 Notre Dame at alumni coming up. So pregame at 3:30, or excuse me, pregame at 3 o'clock, kickoff at 3:30. Don't forget too, your full slate of football coverage tomorrow, which is going to be awesome. You have a football Sunday. You got Arkan. You got Teddy. You got Mego. And you got Shime and Tommy Curran and all the fun that comes 10-1 tomorrow morning. Patriots play. You have the Six Rings postgame show coming up after, leading into Sunday Night Football. So wall-to-wall football coverage tomorrow on EEI. And then, of course, Patriots Monday. Mike Vrabel, Boomer Esiason on the Greg Hill Show. Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis on Jones and Keefe. The afternoon program has Drake May and Marcus Jones as well. So all that and more coming up on Monday after your football Sunday, after Boston College football, after KJ Carson, and after me. The Boston Bruins, a game within 500, despite having these for your lines going into today's game against the Carolina Hurricanes. Morgan Geeky, David Pastrnak, your wingers on the first line. That's fine. That worked. Well, I mean, you stunk last year, but that still worked on your top line last year. Your first line center, and you heard his name mentioned by Judd Surratt coming into the segment. That's right. Murat Khuznadinov is playing first-line center. A guy that was scratched a couple of games ago is now being trusted to center your top line. That is because Elias Lindholm was injured playing knees with, I think it was Jordan Greenway, on the Buffalo Sabres. He had some imaging done. Marco Sturm saying he's going to be missing at least the next couple of weeks, which is unfortunate because I had him mentioned in the conversation for my three stars of the season so far for the Boston Bruins. 9 points in 13 games, winning 58% of his faceoffs was Lindholm so far this year. It looked like the game was starting to turn a corner. Was he ever going to be a point-per-game player? No. Was he ever going to be an elite goal scorer in the league? No. But at his best, Elias Lindholm is a 60-70 point player and a darn good two-way center, a guy that you can trust in all situations, and a guy who seemed like he was kind of bringing the best out of whomever was playing on that line with him and Pastrnak. So it's extremely unfortunate that you lose from an extremely thin position and just an extremely thin group of forwards. So Khuznadinov, Geeky, Pastrnak. That's your top line. If that doesn't say, what does Jones and Keefe call it? Gagging for Gavin McKenna, then I don't know what does. And then you read the rest. Pavel Zacha, who, by the way, is my sneaky second star of the season for the Boston Bruins. 11 points in 13 games. He has an even rating, and he's winning almost 59% of his faceoffs. All of a sudden, he's gone from a guy that was squarely on the trade block for the Bruins to a guy who I've heard they're at least kicking the tires on potential extension talks. I don't know what that number would look like, but it's hard to find good centers in this league. And if you allow for the continued development of Fraser Minton, you have a guy in Zacha who can play the center and play the wing. I mean, you got to keep some players of consequence on this roster. So we'll see where that one goes. But him, Mittelstadt, and Arvidsson, not a good second line in the NHL. That's an average third line, if we're being honest. If you put all three of those guys on last year's Florida Panthers team, maybe one of them plays above the fourth. So that's kind of my measuring stick. What are they on a championship team? Those guys are fourth liners. At least Arvidsson and Mittelstadt are. Zacha, you could maybe argue, is a third line center, third line left winger in a pinch. Then you got Fraser Minton, who I am still really excited to see what he becomes. I think that was probably, for my money, the best out of the deadline last year was that player. And the kid Zellers out in North Dakota is also going to be an interesting player to watch. Tanner Janot and Mikey Aizmont, again, fourth liners. Corrali, Beecher, and Kastelic would look much better if they were wearing Providence Bruins jerseys every night than Boston Bruins jerseys. Zadorov, McAvoy, Lauri and Peek, Asperot, and Yoki Haru on the back end. So what does that group say? What is that group? What jumps out about that group? Not a lot. My honorable mentions, David Pastrnak, he's got 17 points in 13 games, having another elite point scoring season, but he's a minus five and has a team high 24 giveaways this season. So he's been good. I still think there's another level to his game that he can reach. Khuznetdinov, 2 points in 8 games, but super versatile, been moving all around the lineup. Morgan Geeky's up to 9 goals on the season. He's on a really nice goal scoring streak. He's been good. And Nikita Zadorov, very quietly, has been a plus four this season. The penalty minutes have not been egregious, and what he's brought out of Charlie McAvoy the last couple of games has actually been pretty good. He's averaging almost 22 minutes a night, is Zadorov, and I think that top pair all of a sudden has kind of started to solidify things just a little bit, because I could not watch the Lauri McAvoy pairing any longer. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stomach it. It was offensive to the eyes of hockey fans everywhere with their simple inability to keep the puck out of their zone and out of the back of their net. So there's a little something there. But my number one star of the season for the Boston Bruins so far this season, and a guy who I came in with low, low expectations for, is Marco Sturm. And the reason I say that is because with the limited talent around him, And going through those lines, you pull Elias Lindholm out of that. It's bad with him in there. It's really bad without. With the limited talent around him, he's still been able to push the right buttons a number of different times. He did that with your top defense pairing of Zadorov and McAvoy, removing Lauri from that pairing and benching him as well, not just knocking him down to the second pair, not just limiting minutes, not just pulling him off the power play or pulling him off the penalty kill or not starting him in the O zone or whatever. No, he benched him. He gave him one game to watch with popcorn from the rafters and then put him in a lower leverage role, elevating Nikita Zadorov up to that top pairing and finding something that has led to a couple of wins. Now, the shot totals are pretty jarring. The Buffalo Sabres putting up 40 shots on you is quite the indictment on your D zone and your ability to limit shots on net. But if you're limiting the high danger chances, something that this team also kind of does struggle to do, but if you're giving Jonas Korpisalo, Jeremy Swayman the chance to make saves, then you're at least moving forward a little bit, because they got caved in against the Ottawa Senators on Monday. It was high danger chance after grade A look, after all those kind of things coming in. And though Swayman did not have a good game, he was not being helped. So push the right button on the defensive side of things, elevating Zadorov, benching Lauri, and putting him in a lesser leverage role. Then comes what he did on offense, which included a healthy scratch or two for Murat Khuznetdinov, a guy who I still couldn't figure out why he was the odd man out. Of all the talent discrepancies that you have, I thought he was a guy that at least deserved, or at least was one of your best 12 forwards night in and night out. He disagreed. But then comes the need, the necessity to make a change, to try to mix things up. He gets elevated up to the top line. He's speedy. He's the first one in the corner. He's all around the puck. He's a fun player to watch. You know, within the context of still not being incredibly offensively talented, he's at least a guy who, you know, is working 110% out there every single shift that he's out there. Elevates him to the top line, moves Morgan Geeky down to the third line, and all of a sudden, at least for the little while that lasted, you had some halfway decent scoring depth, where now all of a sudden Morgan Geeky is that centerpiece on that third line. And you have two guys in Lindholm and Kuznetsov who can do the dirty work, retrieve the puck, and get it to Pasternak. Now, injuries and changes in depth availability made it so that those lines didn't last. But you pushed the right button, and that's what I'm trying to get at. With a lack of depth around you, with a lack of significant options to try to put the puck in the net and to try to keep the puck out of your net, Marco Sturm is still doing the right things. And he's also saying the right things. And the quote that rang in my ears came when they were really, really struggling a couple weeks ago when he said, "My grinders have been my best players. And when my grinders are my best players, you don't really have a chance. Something's wrong." I have been impressed with the way that he's carried himself. People made a lot of the answer that he gave on Nesson last weekend, saying that you either buy in or you don't. It was, Brick didn't really ask the question that way. He just decided that he wanted to say, you either buy in or you don't. It was blunt. It was direct. You could tell that he was struggling with the struggles of his team, but he's been very direct and very thoughtful in the way that he's been addressing some of the issues that this team is going through. I have been really, really impressed with the job that Marco Sturm has done as the head coach of the Boston Bruins so far. And I will absolutely put my hand up and show accountability for the fact that when that hire was made, I was not on board. I thought there were significantly better options that you could have gone to. I thought luring David Carl out of Denver, I thought Jay Woodcroft, the former coach of the Oilers, and obviously this is even coming after Mike Sullivan signed on with the Rangers and some of your top candidates left, I thought that there were many, many, many better options than Marco Sturm. And more so than that, I thought the hiring of a former Bruin by a GM who's a former Bruin, who is led by the team president who's a former Bruin, was just the extension of a problem that you already had, which was you didn't have any outside thinkers in the building. It was a group that was trying to hang on to the past of the big bad Bruins being this gritty and tough to play against and this win every game 2-1 and beat the living snot out of you on the way. They were trying to hang on to this vision of what Bruins hockey was. The problem was you didn't have any talent on your roster. So you wanted to put out this idea of what you were and what you had always been. And they even brought back jerseys from 40 years ago to try to show, hey, we're the big bad Bruins. The days of Neely and the days of Esposito and the days of Bork and all of these players that you loved watching 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's what we still are. I thought the hiring of Marco Sturm was the extension of that idea, and I thought that idea was dumb. You needed to modernize your team to be able to keep up with the fast-paced, smaller, high-scoring ways of the best teams in the league, and they weren't doing that. And I thought hiring another former Bruin was just adding another voice that was just going to be a yes man and continue to go along with a philosophy that wasn't working. Come to find out, the experience that Sturm gained while in the Kings organization and his different spots coming into Boston after being a player has made him a pretty well thought out, a pretty thoughtful, a pretty effective head coach in the early going so far of his time in Boston. Again, this is a 13-game sample size. But I thought after the start of the season, when they started losing games, I thought even being within one game of 500 was a pipe dream. It looked like this team was bottoming out, and losing focus. I mean, we put together a melt a week or so ago of significant players all saying, I'm embarrassed. Zadorov, McAvoy, Korpisalo, I'm embarrassed. Game after game, it seems like this happens. The coaches put us in position to be successful, and then we fall apart as soon as we're out there on the ice. And in the biggest moments, we choke the hardest. That's where we were a week, 10 days ago. But Marco Sturm has made a couple of what I consider to be pretty strong moves and pushing buttons that maybe the average fan wouldn't have thought of and wouldn't have tried, but they've at least worked and brought some somewhat respectable hockey to TD Garden within the last week. Now, what Sturm did that I didn't mention that has led to what to me is the most fascinating conversation right now about the Boston Bruins has made a change in net. You play a backup goalie for one game. All right, it's the second half of a back-to-back. You viewed Ottawa as a more difficult offensive challenge than the New York Islanders. You gave your starter that game. You gave your backup the game following. Okay. When you play a backup goalie two games in a row, that signifies to me that maybe you're starting to think a little bit more about how this position is going to be handled moving forward. Checking in on the starting goaltenders for today as the Bruins take on the Carolina Hurricanes adds another wrinkle into this conversation. The button that was pushed by Marco Sturm in net, we will continue to analyze with your calls and texts at 617-779-7937. After Tom Crisafulli gets you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Celtics came to the 76ers with their first loss last night in a thrilling 109-108 victory in which the Boston Celtics scored just one measly point in the final 3 minutes and 10 seconds of that game. They hung on. They take on the Rockets tonight at 8. The Bruins are looking to win two in a row as they take on the Carolina Hurricanes today. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. Jeremy Swayman is in between the pipes for your Boston Bruins. The Patriots are set for the Week 9 matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. Ramondre Stevenson has already been ruled out for tomorrow's game with a toe injury. And Boston College looks to end their 7-game losing streak today. They take on the 5-2 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock right here on WEEI. In the best two words in sports, Game 7. The Dodgers managed to extend the series last night against the Blue Jays with a 3-1 win, forcing a Game 7 tonight in Toronto. You'll be able to listen to that game right here on WEEI. Coverage starts at 7, directly following the Boston College football game. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
.com.
A shout out from the 401 to our guy Tom, who is murdering rejoins today, according to our text line. And he brings us back here on WEEI. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you'd like to get involved, you can call and you can text. I'm taking you up until 1 o'clock. KJ Carson has you 1 to 3 leading into coverage of Boston College football. So I read during the last segment the practice lines from yesterday, which had Mason Lorai involved on the second pairing, looking to check back in, being on a bit of a lesser role, not being paired with Charlie McAvoy, which I think, given the play that we've seen from him from the last year plus, you know, leading the league with the lowest plus minus last year and things of that nature, was probably apt. But during the course of the break, Tom found a quote coming from head coach Marco Sturm talking about his lineup decisions. There has been a change in that regard. And for the third straight game, Mason Lorai will be benched, will not be part, as Hampus Lindholm checks back in on that pairing. This is what Marco Sturm had to say before the game.
How can Mason Lorai benefit from this time away, not in the lineup?
Yeah, no, he should be pissed. He should be very pissed. He should be upset. He works hard in practice. He's ready. He just waits for his opportunities. But that's, you know, I think that's the goal. But having him out there and be a little bit different when he comes back, right? Watching from upstairs, watching some other players, what they do well, what they do wrong too. So it's a learning process for him right now, and that's why we do it. And but when it's his turn, you know, so we're hoping he's gonna get better too.
There's another check for me in the column of the head coach of the Boston Bruins. I think it's not only an apt move, but a really interesting answer to that. Not trying to hide behind the fact that, you know, we're just doing this for this, that, the other. No, he should be mad. We're making a decision that he doesn't agree with, and we want him to be mad, and we want him to do something about that. We view him as an important piece, and we want him to be motivated to make the most of the minutes that he has. And you go back and you look at the way that the career has gone for Lorai, who was a second-round pick in 2020 of the Bruins. He played a couple years in Green Bay in the USHL, 2 years at Ohio State. He was great. 29 points in 31 games, then 32 points in 40 games. Was a plus 16 the first year. Interestingly enough, he was a minus 3 in the second year. I just think that's worth noting. Plays 5 games with Providence in 2022-23 after the end of his season at Ohio State. Then plays 21 games in Providence, 16 total points. Recalled by the Bruins, 13 points in 41 games. This is in the 2023-24 season, 11 games in the playoffs with 4 points. Then the following year, he is essentially, this is last season, he is a top defenseman on a bad team, 33 points in 77 games, but a minus 43. A minus 43, 33 points, minus 43. Almost hard to do. But again, you know, the defense last year was a defense and goaltending last year were the worst that they've been in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. So that's he's certainly a part of that. But I say all of that to say, you know, he's kind of been fast-tracked to the NHL because he's a really strong offensive defenseman. Kid can put the puck in the net. He can distribute the puck when he's in the offensive end. He can quarterback a power play. He has all of the makings of, you know, a good, strong offensive defenseman in the NHL. The problem is he was being put in situations last year where he was expected to play strong defensive hockey, play on the kill, play in his own zone, and that really had never been a strength of his game. And he wasn't in the minors or in college long enough to where he had to kind of maximize that skill set. So I think it's a pretty valuable opportunity for him to kind of learn a little bit of what it's like to actually be a well-rounded two-way defenseman in the NHL. And there are kind of two schools of thought. You can do what the Bruins did last year between Montgomery and Joe Sacco and just throw him out there, feed him to the Wolves and see how he can do, throw him in the deep end and see if he can swim. He sank last year. Or you can pull him out, you can coach him up, you can try to develop a guy who, again, is 24 years old. 24 years old and has been playing in the NHL in certain capacities since 2023. This is the beginning of a guy that should be a long-term project. What I think just kind of got lost in the shuffle is that he stands at 6'5", 218, so he looks like he should play like Zdeno Chara. The problem is his game suggests that he plays like Torrey Krug. So you have to try to get a guy who has the physical makeup of a bruising defensive defenseman to learn how to actually play that way. And that's not an easy thing to do on the fly. You can't just throw a guy out there on defense on a bad team, play him 23 minutes a night, and expect that he's just going to magically, you're going to snap his fingers and he's going to figure it out. So that's kind of where we're at with Mason Lorai, who needs to be, absolutely has to be, a significant part of this team moving forward. You've now invested at over $3 million, the kind of money that would suggest he should be a middle six defenseman for you moving forward. But this should be a transition year. This should be a development year. And I'm really impressed by the emphasis on development at all costs that Marco Sturm and company have put on this team so far. That leads us to the other element of the button pushing that's going on right now. And you heard it in Tom's update just a few moments ago when the Bruins dropped the puck in 27 minutes over at TD Garden. Jeremy Swayman will be in the blue paint for the Boston Bruins. Last time he played was on Monday, played against the Ottawa Senators, made 16 saves on 23 shots. If you're doing math at home, that's 7 goals allowed. He now has as many games giving up one goal as he does giving up 6 or more. Has as many one-goal efforts as he does touchdowns against. Hasn't recorded a shutout so far this year. And last year he had more games with 5 or more goals allowed than he did shutouts. So when it rains, it pours games for Jeremy Swayman have already been on display. That was a 6-goal effort against the Vegas Golden Knights. You lose the game 6-5. So you pull one of those back, we may be having a different conversation. And then a 7-2 embarrassment against Ottawa. That game, I would guess that Jonas Korpisalo was going to start the following game against the Islanders regardless. Second half of a back-to-back, you are traveling in the middle of it. It's pretty commonplace to see NHL teams go with goalie 1 night and goalie 2 the next night. What I think caught everybody off guard after Korpisalo made 33 saves on 35 shots against the Islanders was that Marco Sturm chose to trot him back out against the Buffalo Sabres, and you could argue that he was even better. Save percentage was down a little bit, but 37 saves on 40 shots. He saved more than one goal above expected, which I know is a stat that people just have started to throw around in the hockey world, and I think there's varying degrees of understanding what it actually means. He was spectacular against some high danger chances on a 40 shot effort from the Buffalo Sabres, keeps you in the game. You end up winning the game in overtime. Marco Sturm goes back to Jeremy Swayman this afternoon, showing to me, and I was wondering about this, because if you play Korpisalo 3 games in a row, that shows you that we're having a changing of the tides in who the starting goaltender is of the Boston Bruins. And Carolina is leaps and bounds better than both the Islanders and the Sabres. So if you start Korpisalo for a 3rd straight game and that 3rd game is against Carolina, whoa. We now have a different definition of goalie 1A and goalie 1B on the Boston Bruins. But the choice was made to go back to Jeremy Swayman. And unfortunately, as much as I would have loved to see them ride Corpusalo's hot hand for 3, 4, 5 games, as was asked of Marco Sturm during the post game on Thursday, as much as I would have loved that, you paid too much money to your starting goaltender to bail on him now. It's just a factor of the contract and the commitment that you made to this player. You have to keep it an open competition right now because you're 13 games in, you're not a Stanley Cup contender, and conventional wisdom would state that with the money and the term that you put on the contract for Swayman, you believe that the next time you are a Stanley Cup contender, he's your starting goalie. He's the guy that you ride through the playoffs. That's what that contract, that's what that commitment should suggest to you. So you have to try to make the most out of this agreement while you have the chance. Yes, Tom?
Doesn't it also put you in the exact same spot you were in 2 years ago when you had Allmark here, and it was Allmark Swayman, and now you have Corpy Swayman. So if you play him, you're in the exact same spot you're in 2 years ago with, one could argue, a lesser goaltender behind Swayman. And the whole point you pay Swayman is so you have the one guy, that is your guy.
Right. Well, that's the difference. That's the thing. If both of these guys were making that like $4 million number that I think they were both around at that time, then I think you'd see a pretty significant commitment to, all right, one's going to play 41 games, the other's going to play 41, and we're just going to kind of go back and forth, and they're going to kind of co-win the Vezina together. The problem is that contract. You are contractually obligated to try to make it work with Jeremy Swayman, to try to let him figure it out so that you can leave this year going, at least I know that Jeremy Swayman is my number one goaltender moving forward. It stinks because in the short term, it means you're playing the guy who is not playing as well. You are benching the hotter hand in order to try to maximize what you have with this guy. But you've made the kind of commitment where you have to try to make it work, and you're early enough in the season where the games still don't have as much meaning behind them where you can roll it out there and see if it works. What I really do wonder, though, if we take this 13-game sample size and you kind of take it further on down the line, say the Bruins remain competitive enough where we are still talking about a team that has a chance to maybe scratch and claw into the wild card. Maybe we're not absolutely certain that they're going to be sellers at the trade deadline this year, and maybe they do have a chance a couple games above or below 500 to make a key addition somewhere and make a run to a playoff spot. Then what happens? What happens down the stretch for the final 6 weeks, 2 months of the season if we're still having the same conversation about, oh, well, you know, Corpy's having a better year? I'm not overly surprised to see them go back to Swayman now because it's October, November, and you're still kind of figuring out what exactly this season is going to be. If we're in March, if we're past the Olympics, and we're having this same conversation about two really good games in a row for Jonas Corpusalo, I would wonder in that same situation if they'd go back to him for a third game. I really would. But I think you're so early into it, you have so much that you haven't yet decided or understood about what the 2025-26 Boston Bruins are going to be, that you can justify going back to this guy. But the conversation is now open, it's being had, and it's getting louder. And I tell you what, if Swayman goes out there this afternoon and has another clunker, looks like he did against Vegas, looks like he did against Ottawa, then the conversation is going to continue to get louder. And what I worry about, we had this conversation during the course of the offseason because multiple times Jeremy Swayman in the third person decided to tell everybody that Jeremy Swayman is a new person. Standing here right now, Jeremy Swayman is a new person. And we all rolled our eyes and went, well, a new person wouldn't refer to themselves in the third person. But he said it anyways, and we had to believe it. What happens if that new person starts to hear the rumblings, starts to kind of feel the ground getting a bit uneasy, starts to feel the pressure of losing their hold on this number one job? Does Jeremy Swayman, who told me in the third person that he's a new person this year, does he have the ability to respond to adversity and up his game versus respond to adversity and fall apart? That is something that I have zero answer on right now. I have not seen a concrete example of a situation in his young career where he's had adversity to this level and upped his game. I would not consider being a tandem goaltender with Linus Allmark as adversity. I would consider that to be a privilege for both of those players. Both of them made each other better. Does he view Jonas Korpisalo as the new, to Tom's point, does he view him as the new Linus Allmark, where together we can form one tremendous goaltender that can lead this team to, you know, to a wild card spot? Or does he view it as competition, and does he fall apart because of it? I have not seen enough in the mental makeup of Swayman where I'm confident how he responds to this. But we'll certainly see. He has a tough task in front of him in about 20 minutes. Bruins taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Also, I would like to mention this before we go to break, because we're going to wrap up with the Celtics, and then we'll get you over to KJ Carson leading into Boston College football. The numbers that we're talking about for these guys, Swayman, .886 save percentage. Korpisalo, despite having save percentages of .943 and .925 in the last two games, has a season total of an .882. These are two bad goalies that are trying to be less worse than the other right now. Hopefully one can elevate their game so the other elevates their game, so we're talking about at least league average goaltending, but we're talking about two bad goalies on a team that's supposed to be bad. But you got to figure this out eventually. We'll see if they do. 617-779-7937, the phone number. When we return, we'll wrap up with the Boston Celtics. Back to .500 after the sky was falling in the first three games. The Celtics seem to be sorting some of their issues out. We'll take the temperature of Celtics fans, and we'll do that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's been the same old song and dance for Jeremy Swayman, according to Tom back behind the glass, who I did not know had Aerosmith in his bag. To bring us back here to wrap things up on WEEI, I appreciate you joining me for the last couple of hours. You got KJ Carson for the next couple of hours coming up at the top of the hour, and then Boston College football pregame at 3, kickoff at 3:30. An extended text from the 508 that I want to read. Answer your own question. You know this Swayman will turn into a puddle. So if the other guy's playing well, as long as we have Swayman on this team, we will be. But all the Bruins fans just had to sign this guy because he was so good, even though he never played more than 40 games. He sucks then. He sucks now. He'll suck in the future. As long as he's on the team as a full-time member, we won't be winning anything. Here's the difference. Corpy knows he's not that good and has to fight and get better. Sway thinks he's good and isn't doing the work to get better because he doesn't think he needs to get better. He's a new person, still a bad goalie, new person. Okay, there you go. An impassioned speech that I kind of tried to read through quickly, so I might have missed a couple of the important words there. But I mean, it's a fair point. There is a complacency that I would not be overly surprised if it's kind of part of the game, because does the game from last year was a mess for this guy from before puck drop, from beginning of training camp, from the summer into training camp, into puck drop, through the season, it was a mess. We were told that he was a new person, but does the game really look that different? Numerically speaking, it doesn't look that different. Eye test wise, he's still kicking out rebounds. He's still not making that extra save that you need. And there's no way to quantify this. This is solely eye test and a feel kind of thing. Do you really feel that Jeremy Swayman is out there battling every single night? Do you feel like even when he doesn't have his A stuff, or especially when the Bruins don't have their A stuff, and spoiler alert, they're not going to have their A stuff most of the year. And even when they do, it's still pretty bad. Do you really feel like he goes out there and battles? I felt like Jonas Korpisalo, especially against Buffalo, was out there grinding for his group. And you can't quantify that. You can look at save percentage, you can look at goals saved above expected, you can look at all this other crap, but at a certain point, it's how does a guy look? How does a guy react when his team is hemmed in the D zone? Yes, Tom?
And maybe you have a better answer about this than I do.
Yeah.
Do the guys around on the team, do they look like they play harder for Korpisalo? I think it's the bigger thing. And it's not, if we've seen it, it's the tale of the time. Good player, gets paid, doesn't care anymore.
Right.
Scrappy player, looking, you know, be his best, make his biggest contract. He tries his hardest. But do the guys around Swayman, the defensemen, the wingers, do they try harder when it's Swayman in between the pipes or Korpisalo?
It's a good question. And I can't speak to individual efforts. I can just tell you with, you know, game by game, they were not working hard around him on Monday. When that game was still kind of within reach against Ottawa, I thought the Bruins and their goaltender quit. And despite being outshot, doubled up on shots against Buffalo on Thursday, I thought they still battled hard to get a point and then ultimately 2 points out of it. So it's a fair question. If you know you're getting the effort in net, odds are you're going to be more motivated to put the effort out in response to that. So it's certainly something to watch. This thing is far from over. That's kind of where I'll leave this, is that this conversation about the Bruins goaltending is far from over. These Celtics have been quite the roller coaster through six games. They have faced the 10th hardest schedule so far this season. They have the 27th hardest or fourth easiest schedule after that. Tankathon also has the Celtics with the second easiest schedule remaining after this kind of gauntlet to begin the season. Some notes from Justin Turpin on our website. Boston outscored Philadelphia 38-25 in the first quarter, shooting 16 of 26 from the field and 5 of 13 from 3. The Celtics have scored 30-plus points in the first quarter, 5 of their 6 games, posting quarter totals of 28, 30, 33, 34, 40, and 38 in order. They've shot at least 50% in every first quarter, going a combined 79 of 144, with 42 of those makes assisted. Overall, they've outscored their opponents plus 38 in first quarters. What's the translation for that, Dan? Well, I perceive that as your starters are doing their jobs. The five-man unit that Joe Mazzulla has landed on, especially recently, has been doing their job to start games. You're starting to understand what the rotation is going to be. And I think, quite frankly, the coaching staff is starting to understand what this post-Jason Tatum, post-Kristaps Porzingis, post-Drew Holiday, post-Al Horford rotation is going to be. You still have questions about consistency, and I think depth is a major, major concern and at least focal point for me to this point, because Anfernee Simons has been really good off the bench, but I think you could also counter that by saying that Peyton Pritchard has been horrible shooting the basketball to this point. So I do wonder if there's a flip there, and between between Simons keeping up the scoring, between Hauser, between the between Boucher and who and Xavier Tillman and who you're trying to rotate there in your front court, do you have enough in order to put together sustained efforts for four quarters against good teams? That I'm not sure about. I am still fully in the category that I think this team can beat the bad teams in basketball. And they handed Philly their first loss of the season and almost choked it away in the process yesterday. So you got to give credit where credit is due. But can they put together sustained efforts so they have the depth off the bench in order to keep first quarter momentum going for the rest of the game? That's where I still think there's work to be done. You need more from Hauser. You need more scoring touch from Pritchard. And you need to kind of figure out if Kata or Josh Minot, if either of them start to kind of lose form a little bit, which neither had great games or overly impactful games against Philly last night, do you have that next wave that you can go to? Tom, you're a hoop head. Where are you on the Celtics after six games?
It's evident they need a big man. Yeah. They need a big man like a fish needs water. And this is the perfect year to have a down year because I think Wembanyama, and I know Fitzy was saying this on afternoons, I think it was after the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Wemby is going to take this league over, and it's all going to come down to, is he healthy and do they have a team around him? And I think they sneaky have a very good team around him. So I think this is Wemby's year to take it all. MVP. He's going to have one of those years where he takes MVP, All-Star Game MVP,
wow,
DPOY, Finals MVP. I think he can legitimately, if he stays healthy, he could end up being one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And yeah, I know that's super early to say. He's played 2.5 seasons at this point, I think. But at 7'5", being able to do what he can do on the floor, they call him an alien because he is, I mean, he might have been on that ship that was orbiting that comet, whatever it was. He is insane. That could have been his relatives looking to watch him play ball. I don't know.
There you go. That's the take. Take Victor Wembanyama. Whatever the award is that you want to bet on, you got to take him. But that brings us to the end here on WEEI. Stick around and load up the lines at 617-779-7937 because KJ Carson has you for the next 2 hours. 1-3 leading into coverage of Boston College football. They're taking on Notre Dame. Could certainly use a good effort here this afternoon. Want to thank the fellows back behind the glass for riding along with me. KJ's coming up next. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend here in the greater Boston area. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.